Big pitch here, 2-0. High fly into center field. This should do it. Eaton is back in front of the warning track. He is there. He makes the catch, and the Red Sox win it. 3-2 today. They sweep the Orioles in this four-game series. They win 7 of 8 in New York and Baltimore, one of the great road trips in Red Sox history.
One of the great road trips in Red Sox history.
I think statistically it is.
So like 7 wins on the, just by pure math.
I don't think they've ever won 7 games in an 8-game road trip or something along those lines. I think that's true. Okay. I heard talking about that like as the game was playing out because it was back-to-back 4-game series, which you don't always have anyway.
Right.
And then you sweep one and go 3 out of 4 in the other.
And you do have to give them a lot of credit for taking 3 out of 4 against the Yankees. Yeah. We're going into that series going, their season could go one way or the other.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe.
I think statistically it is. You could talk about, you know, where they were in the standings compared to other years and things like that. But I think, yeah, I don't think it's, I don't think that's off.
It is interesting when you hear Will Fleming. I know he likes to drop an oink from time to time.
Sure does.
When it comes to Garrett Crochet.
Oink.
Who wasn't great yesterday. Does he have to do like a smaller voice for the Piglet, Peyton Tolley, in his debut tonight?
See,
like, does he go, if Garrett Crochet is oink, oink, is the Piglet oink, oink? Like, does he give us one of those?
Oh.
Like a smaller oink? Or maybe does he just go one oink?
Thing.
Or does he hit us with one oink?
Here's what I'm having a hard time with. For those of you who haven't seen Peyton Tolley, he's bigger than Garrett Crochet.
Yeah, the
so
text
why is
line,
the Piglet?
The text line points out it's Haas v. Haas tonight. Tolley and Skeens. Neither are Haas of the Week.
No, they're not, but they are big dudes.
Yeah.
What if you add Giolito to the mix, and now you have the 3 big pigs? Instead of the old childhood 3 little pigs, you have the 3 big pigs. Doesn't that make sense?
Maybe.
So now their whole rotation is called the pig pen. Or the horse stable.
The Redskins.
The Haas stable.
That's what they were. The Redskins had the Hogs and the Hoggettes.
Dump it.
Yeah, we're kind of infringing on their territory.
That's
now.
True.
We could do that. Bring some of that back.
They have a big pitching staff, though.
Yeah,
if
large.
You look at it that way.
I mean, Giolito dwarfed us at the Jimmy Fund.
He's a mountain of a man.
Wasn't even funny.
No. So we have 3 just giants and then baby Pedro.
Yep.
Which that's back now.
That's pretty nice. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
That
rotation.
Is pretty nice. Not as many Ks as regular Pedro, but pitching very well.
So I was a little annoyed the way the rotations were lining up a couple days ago where we weren't going to get Skeens versus Crochet. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they're like, you're going to get Skeens, Peyton Tolley.
You have a
pumped.
Did you finalize your Rich Keefe?
Yeah, I don't know if
it's Sportsbook Rhode Island bet of the week.
I don't know if it's up yet, but I did. I sent it in. Sox money line tonight because they are basically unbeatable at home. Peyton Tolley over 4.5 strikeouts.
Stealing.
Seems like it's just you're giving away money.
Yeah. You're going to be eating out of a trough after that.
Even though I think
they
went Skeens over 6.5 Ks. The Red Sox still strike out a decent amount.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So 7 Ks for him, 5 Ks for Tolley, and a Sox win.
7!
It's not bad.
Piglet parlay.
The Piglet parlay.
Pretty nice.
I guess we're stuck on that. So, yeah, that's what we're doing.
Now, the Piglet, we're getting some nicknames. And this is kind of a nickname show, Keith. Not kind of a nickname show.
We're a uniform show and a nickname show, for better or for worse.
Do you like Peyton Tolley Booth Willie?
Yes.
Okay, you do. Okay, good. So that's just where we're just good with that.
Yeah.
I think Nick suggested.
Although somebody did say.
The Troll Tolley. Pay the Troll Tolley.
No.
You don't like that?
No, that's not. It's just a little wordy, I think, when you're trying to yell it out during the game. So somebody said.
Hey, you got to go pay the Troll Tolley.
He has a beautiful mustache.
Yes.
In honor of Tom Selleck. And so someone said, why don't you call him Magnum P.I.? To which I would say, drop the P.I. Magnum.
Magnum.
Just call him Magnum. Pretty good. Right?
I guess I've always Sunny in my head. So Magnum has usually a follow-up.
Yeah.
But okay, yeah.
Magnum Dom.
Okay, Nick, well, right on top of it. Yeah.
But just Magnum.
Yeah,
because
sure.
That's fine. That's kid-friendly, too.
Yeah.
And it implies good size.
It sure does.
It's right?
Now, we were experimenting. I don't know what Will's going to do yet.
No.
With his Peyton Tolley call.
Yeah, it's really up to him.
But we had Nick, really midway through the first hour, this idea occurred to us.
Yep.
We had Nick, we have some drops for Peyton Tolley. Do we have any of these?
No,
we don't. We don't
have any. He said he didn't.
I was watching a lot of.
No, he said specifically he didn't have a Piglet
one. He says, I don't.
No, I was watching a lot of Winnie the Pooh.
I thought you specifically didn't have
don't have any.
You didn't have the one Keith said?
No,
he was looking for Winnie the Pooh stuff.
I was watching a lot of Winnie the Pooh.
I thought he just didn't have the ones from Winnie the
Pooh. I could have told you no.
He doesn't have any of them.
No, I don't have any.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll do that later, I guess.
I'm still not sold on
it. I got the weekend to figure it out.
Maybe we'll do that next
week. But I am really excited about this Peyton Tolley experience. And if he's good, like, sky's the limit. How unfair would that? Because the Red Sox are already rolling, right? That's not even including this
Magnum
guy.
P.I.G.
Magnum P.I.G. It was right there in front of us.
that's a nickname text line.
It was right there in front of us.
Magnum P.I.G. I can't even tell you how many people texted that.
Multiple people are saying Magnum P.I.G.
Magnum P.I.G.
I think we figured it out.
That's real good. That's really good. Strong. Okay,
I think you should knock off the piglet thing because he's not small. He is a hoss.
Hear me
out. So Magnum P.I.G.
Magnum P.I.G. L-E-T.
Stop it.
Is that too much?
Way too much.
Okay. Magnum P.I.G. is pretty good.
Magnum P.I.G.
That's really
good. That's what we now call him.
Okay.
But to get him going up against Skeens in his first start is awesome. And so right now the Red Sox feel good about three starters. Feel mm-hmm. great about three starters, mm-hmm. right? Crochet, Bayo, Giolito have all been really, really good. After that, it falls off a bit of a cliff. They already moved Buehler to the pen. Nobody really is loving Dustin May necessarily. So if this guy ends up being something, wow. Well, what a rotation.
Remember, he's one of the names that could have gone for Joe Ryan, too. And I still would have traded him, plus another prospect for Joe Ryan if I could have done that. And I wasn't even as high on Joe Ryan as some others were.
Yeah.
I think we here in Boston were tending to overrate him just slightly. He's by far having his best career year. Mm-hmm. But he'd be a really good pitcher. I'd still make all those trades. But if he comes in and makes an impact, and I don't just mean tonight in the start against Paul Skeens, which was fun, but if he makes a postseason impact, you're going to have to score one for Breslow and
here we go. No, I think you're going to twist this back to Breslow.
But if he is
Breslow's been like, he's been hitting the right moves.
The whole Greg Hill show, they were apologizing to Craig Breslow this morning.
See, I wouldn't go overboard on that. I don't think he had a very good deadline.
No, me either. But I'm just saying, if Toley makes an impact and you go on a run, Bradfoe's made this analogy before. He's David Price. And he's making that kind of postseason impact out of the bullpen that he made for Tampa in 2008 when they went to the World Series. They didn't win it, but they went to the World Series. They beat the Red Sox in the ALCS.
Or he could be a number 4 starter even.
He could do that.
Yeah.
If he's making that level of impact, then you see why maybe they didn't close on a deal at the trade deadline. They should have done more at the deadline regardless.
Yeah.
But if this guy makes an impact now, maybe you understand why the Joe Nathan trade didn't come together, which all of us wanted.
Joe Ryan. Nathan, what year is this?
Joe Ryan. I would have taken Joe Nathan,
too. I say Joe Nathan 18 times? Sorry, Joe Ryan.
He's got a couple saves.
Yeah, have Chapman. You don't need him.
No, that's
true. Joe Nathan, a good setup man maybe now at this point of his
life. The way
life.
They use older relievers here in Boston.
It's true. They have career years in their late 30s. But no, I'm excited to see what it could be, and maybe it is a bullpen arm. I think the number 4 spot is wide open, and teams usually still go with 4 starters in the playoffs, right? Depending on how the series kind of lays out. So if you have him going out there, like that'd be great.
All right. How much of an impact do you think Peyton Toley makes? What you think the right nickname is? I think we've answered that question. Magnum P.I.G.
Magnum P.I.G.
Pretty great.
Lock it in.
You can jump in on the phones. We'll get to the Friday 4-pack coming up in just a little bit. We're also going to speak to Milton Williams in just a moment. But right now, be caller 9 to the contest line. 617-931-0937, and you will score a pair of passes to the 2004 Red Sox Championship Cruise with Kevin Millar and teammates, namely Johnny Gomes, Clay Buchholz, on September 14th. Limited tickets still available at cityexperiences.com. Again, caller 9 right now to the contest line, 617-931-0937. You will score a pair of passes to the 2004 Red Sox Championship Cruise with Kevin Millar. Have at it. On the contest line, we'll be giving away another pair later on in the program, but it is a Patriots Friday here on Jones and Keefe, and joining us right now is Patriots defensive lineman Milton Williams. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. You can go shopping and get rewarded. Milton Williams, thanks for joining us here on Jones and Keefe. Joining us here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI Patriots Friday is Patriots defensive lineman Milton Williams. Milton, thanks so much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Hey, man, appreciate y'all having me on.
How's year one in New England going for you so far leading up to week one of the regular season?
Year one, it's going good. Man, we've been getting some work in. Coach has been pushing us every day. Just trying to get better every day, every time we step out there on the practice field, making sure that we're getting better at something. And, you know, perfecting our techniques and just building the team. And like I said, it's been good. I'm ready for the regular season to kick off.
What about some of the off-the-field stuff, Milton? Just, you know, 4 years in Philadelphia. It's now year one. You've only been here a few months. How has the adjustment been, you know, up here in New England, new facility, new everything, new surroundings? How's that been?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been good. It's been good. Most of the time, I spend most of my time up here at the facility. So the facility is cool. I hear we're getting a new one next year, so that'd be dope next year. But yeah, no, it's been pretty cool. I tell everybody, Foxborough kind of remind me of my college town in Ruston, Louisiana, where it's really not like it's a football town. Not really that much to do in the city, but it's all like football. You know, the fans die hard out here, and they're gonna let you know if you're doing something right or if you're doing something wrong. It's the same way in Philly too. So it's kind of a lot of similarities for me. So it's been a smooth transition.
Yeah, you mentioned your college town. We know you went to Louisiana Tech. I'm curious, coming out of high school, what other options did you have, and how did you land on Louisiana Tech?
So I wasn't that highly recruited coming out of high school. I was a two-star athlete. The biggest offer that I did have was Louisiana Tech, I think Tulsa, and I think UTSA. That was about it. A lot of the Texas schools I was trying to get recruited from, like TCU, Texas Tech, A&M, they never offered. So.
So when you signed that new contract this year, you were probably thinking, hey, pretty good for a two-star.
Hey, man, it's great for a two-star. And that's definitely a dream come true and a blessing as well.
You said you haven't, or you spent most of your time at the facility. Have you gotten into Boston? And if so, I'm curious how you think that compares, certainly driving-wise, to places like Philadelphia where you played before.
The only thing, I've been to Boston once. We went and got something to eat out there at Ocean Prime, which was pretty good.
Nice.
So I might definitely be back around there, picking me a steak or two.
Are you a sports fan outside of football? Do you like basketball, baseball, any other sports?
Basketball.
Who's your team?
So I don't really have a team. I like a lot of players. My favorite player is LeBron, but I like Tatum.
Keith just made a face. Keith is not a LeBron guy.
As a Celtics guy, I don't like LeBron. I know a lot of people do. I understand that. But Tatum, he threw Tatum on the list. That's good.
Nah, Tatum, one of the ones for sure. Giannis, Embiid, Luka. It's a lot of guys. Kawhi, like, it's a lot of dudes in the NBA that I just like watching them play, just watching them just perfect their craft. Kind of like how it's like me watching other defensive linemen do what they do. But watching those players has been so good for so long, I get a joy out of watching them.
Speaking of watching other defensive linemen, what are you seeing out of your teammate Christian Barmore so far in camp?
Oh, yeah. We're going to be ready to rock and roll. No, he's coming back off dealing with what he was dealing with last year. But when he's been out there, we've been trying to just get that chemistry, working off each other and picking each other's brain, you know, seeing what he sees from his point of view, what he like, you know, what certain moves he like to do. We kind of two different players, so we got different styles of how we see things and how we play. So just feeding off each other, picking each other's brain, you know, it's been good. And no, we're gonna be ready to rock.
What about the offensive line on the team? You had a chance to go up against them quite a bit throughout training camp. How would you describe this offensive line?
Inside, I see most of the guys inside.
Sure. Yeah.
So Big Mike, of course. Me and him been having our battles through our camp and practice every day. Just hit him with being one of the best guards in football. Seeing him every day, you know, it's just gonna help me on Sundays. Kind of how I was last year going against Landon Dickerson every day at practice. So pretty much the same there. Jared on the left guard, he's a young player right now, but he's going to be, like I said earlier in training camp, like, he got a bright future ahead of him. You know, he's still learning. He's going to have some ebbs and flows that just come with being a young player. But once he keep working and keep studying, it's going to eventually click for him, and, you know, the sky's the limit.
You know, you mentioned practicing against the offensive line for the Eagles last year. How often would you guys face the tush push in practice, and how would you go about stopping that?
No, so we never practiced against them doing that. Like,
got
ever.
It.
So they kind of like did their own, they had their own way of practicing and how they wanted to do it, but we never lined up against them doing that.
Is it fair? Should it be allowed?
I feel like that's probably like football, like 101, like stop us. Like, if you want us to get off the field, you want to stop us. Like, we got a strong quarterback, strong running back, big offensive line. Like, stop us and we'll get off the field. So I feel like, you know, we got to figure out a way to stop them. You know, I feel like they've been kind of perfected it over the past couple of years. You know, we got to figure out a way to get it stopped whenever we get an opportunity. I definitely think it should be in the game because they're not the only ones that do it, but I feel like they definitely have perfected what they're trying to accomplish doing it.
So that was a big part of the Eagles' identity, as was the defense. You're a Super Bowl champion. I don't know that the expectations externally here are quite that high for a championship this year, but we do have heightened expectations for the team this year. What are your expectations on the field?
Man, I'm expecting us to just go out there and just harp on what Coach has been harping on. Just playing harder than people, playing more physical than people, coming in and having people really, when they see us on tape, like, man, yeah, like, we're going to buckle our chin strap up this week because these boys coming in here ready to do something and ready to hit somebody. So, you know, I want to see us just go out there, execute, play hard, play fast, and, man, that's really all you can do. Like, everything else is going to take care of itself, but if you checking those boxes, being where you're supposed to be, winning one-on-one matchups, executing a call, hey, that's all we can ask for. And, you know, I'm pretty sure wins will follow that.
Last one for me, very important. Last year you had 5 sacks. You have 11 and a half career sacks. Do you have a favorite in your career?
Favorite? I have to say that my favorite would have been the Super Bowl sack, but I don't know if they count. Those count for the stats.
Oh, good point. That was regular season stats. Yeah, so, yeah, it's got to be the Super Bowl stats.
Yeah, put
that one down. You had 2 last year in the playoffs.
You know what I'm saying?
That count. That's good. Good answer.
Okay. I was going to try to see if it wasn't that one, I'll probably say my first one. Getting my first sack in Detroit versus Goff.
Good one. Yeah. All right.
All right, well, Milton Williams, we appreciate you joining us here on a Patriots Friday on Jones and Keefe. Best of luck this season, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all.
Milton Williams brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. You can go shopping and get rewarded. Patriots Friday here on Jones and Keefe. It's a busy Friday. We already gave you our top 5 fantasy football favorites. You can seek those out at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram if you want to go back through that. We also have a Friday 4-pack, a 4-pack of questions every Friday. We'll get to that right after Trending with Bridget.
Watch us, love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch. Jones and Keefe
on WEEI. What's in today's Friday 4-pack?
Jones and Keefe here on a Friday on WEEI. It's Patriots Friday. It's also time for the Friday 4-Pack. It's brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. Visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies. At Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. You just heard Milton Williams, Patriots defensive lineman on a Patriots Friday. If you missed any of that, Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone, free. Easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can also listen on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. Coming up about 15 minutes from now, we'll recap the Jones and Keefe fantasy draft from last night.
Whew.
Which, I don't know, I'm feeling...
Flew by.
It flew by.
I think hummed.
I'm feeling better about it than the grade I got from ESPN, I can tell you that.
ESPN was not kind to either one of our drafts.
No. Really?
But that's okay.
Well, I was about to say really the whole show. Somebody actually did very well.
Somebody did extremely well.
So we'll get to that coming up about 15 minutes from now. In the meantime, it's the 4-pack, a 4-pack of questions every Friday. Bridget, what do we have today?
All right, number 1. In the MLB expansion draft, should Paul Skeens be the first pick?
Or you have everybody. You're starting over, starting from scratch. Everybody's thrown into a pile.
My answer is no. And that's not
just because he's a pitcher.
Correct. It's not because he's
clearly Roman Anthony.
He's ridiculously talented.
Ooh.
Not a bad answer.
Ooh.
He's ridiculously talented. I do think I would take him over any other pitcher. Would you take him before Scooble? Let's start with that. Would you take him before Scooble, Crochet?
Yeah,
me too.
He's just turned 23, and he's been unbelievable. It feels like, inevitably he will be out for a season, but then he'll probably come back.
I would take him before any other pitcher, but because he's a pitcher, I wouldn't take him first in an expansion.
How high, though, would you go?
High.
Yeah, like top five still has to be.
Yeah, maybe
would
not
Ohtani
quite that high.
Would Ohtani be the first pick, even though he's 31, just because how crazy he is?
Probably him or Judge. I mean, Judge is old.
I know.
But he's awesome.
But I think Roman Anthony's not a bad suggestion.
Roman Anthony's a high pick.
Yeah.
Roman Anthony is a high pick in an MLB expansion draft. Are we missing anybody else super obvious?
I mean, Crochet wouldn't fall too far down.
I don't think. Yeah, maybe Skeens is higher than I thought.
Bobby Witt.
Bobby Witt would
really
be a great one.
Yep, Bobby Witt's a great one.
Big Domperer? No.
Pete Crow?
Pete Crow,
he's
like.
Young.
I feel like having all the – hasn't Pete Crow and your guy there, Kyle Tucker, haven't they cooled off like a ton?
Kyle Tucker hasn't hit a home run in like 2 months.
Well, right. Kyle Tucker's gonna be right. I think that changed recently, but it was
off the field.
Correct. It was like a super long time in between home runs. I feel like Pete Crow might have cooled down.
He had 2 home runs last weekend in a game against the Angels, but he's only at 21 on the season now. Kyle Tucker was on pace for like way more than that.
Pete Crow's sitting on...
But he's 2 home runs away from a 30-30 season.
Pete Crow? Yeah, I was looking that up. He's sitting on 28 homers. I was just looking up the steals. Nice. Yeah. All right, he'd be a high pick.
Ellie would be up there, too.
Honestly, maybe the answer is Roman Anthony. That might be a homer pick, but he's 21, position player, already is a great at-bat.
So what about, like, Caminero? Mm-hmm. Caminero's closing in on, like, 40 homers. He's been a monster. But, like, yeah, young players like that should go very high in an expansion draft. Skeens would go high. I wouldn't take him first, though.
I might take him 2 or 3, though, because... He's 8 years younger than Shohei. So Shohei would be a great pick, and you'd burn hot, and you'd have to maximize the first 3 years of your team there. But, I mean, long term, you gotta consider Skeens.
The kid from Oakland?
Which
Kurtz?
Kid?
Is he talking
they
about
have a
Kurtz?
Few.
Yeah, Kurtz?
Yeah,
Kurtz.
Oh, Kurtz, yeah.
Okay. That would not
Nick
be.
Nick Kurtz?
That wouldn't be.
Careful.
My selection. There.
I got it right. He does have 27 dongs. He's hitting .309.
Yeah, he came right up. He's mashing.
He has an OPS over 1,000.
That's pretty good.
Holy smokes.
Right, well, maybe he's...
And he's 22.
Okay.
All right, add him to the pile.
All right, put him in there.
Put him on.
I said I wouldn't take him. Maybe I would, actually. Now that I've heard those numbers, maybe I would. Right. What else do we have, Bridget?
How many wins will Bill Belichick in North Carolina have this year?
All right, the big opener on Monday night against TCU.
Yeah, that's 5 or 6.
I would go more 7.
I know you're going to go higher than that.
I am going to go higher than that.
5 or 6 sounds right to me. If you're going to pin it down, I'd say 6, I guess.
All right, when you look at it, preseason rankings obviously can in 2 weeks can be completely torn apart. But as of right now, their schedule has 1 ranked opponent.
Clemson. Okay.
That's it. So what do they have, 12 regular season games? I think they win 8. I'll put them down for 8.
They have 12 plus, you think a bowl game. That's why I would skew 6. So they're going to
count the bowl game? That counts the big
I think at the end of the year I would count that. Yeah, the Wasabi Fenway Bowl, yeah.
They're
going to lose to TCU.
That's fine.
They're probably going to get crushed. But then it's Charlotte and Richmond.
Right.
Probably a win-win. Yeah. UCF is a decent mid-tier pro year to year. I don't know how they're supposed to be this
Blake
year.
Bortles back?
Dylan Gabriel started his career there.
Yeah.
Clemson, they're going to get smashed by. Then
Their last three games, though, were Wake, Duke, and NC State.
Yeah, even before that, Cal at home, flying across the country. They're at Cal. They have to fly to
Cal. Is
Cal
the program that they want to, like, defunct because they can't get the funding for it?
Yeah, Cal blows.
Yeah, no.
But so does UNC. I mean, this is my thing. It's
funny
to me, though. All those teams stink, but so do the Tar Heels.
Yeah, it's very Patriots-like.
It
mirrors the Patriots. I think the Patriots might have a better roster than North Carolina does, but... The reason why I think the Pats win a bunch of games is the same reason I think North Carolina win. I don't think the schedules are all that difficult for either one.
All right, would you take, to change the question, you went with 8?
I went with 8 and 4.
I'm going with 6.
Or maybe even 8 and 5.
Yeah,
I'm going
like 6 and 7 at the end of the day. Do you think they cover against TCU? TCU is a 3.5-point favorite at UNC on Monday.
No. 3.5? And I think that was 1.5. That's one of these ones that has jumped. I think everybody pounced on TCU.
TCU is going to smash them.
I think TCU beats them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then I think they rally and they rip off like 3 straight wins before Clemson.
Yeah. That sounds right. Yeah. Something. Yeah. I mean, they're going to beat. I already backed out of who it is.
It's Charlotte, Richmond, Central Florida.
Bunch of easy teams.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something to watch, though. I'll be locked in on Monday.
Oh, I'll be for sure. We'll probably be talking about it a lot on Tuesday.
Yeah.
What else, Bridget?
Is August closer to the best month or the worst month?
Way closer to the worst month.
Interesting.
What do you mean by this, by the way? Like,
what do you mean? What do I mean by that? I think it's pretty clear.
Is it almost the best or almost the worst?
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe you think it is the worst, but is it closer? Which one is it closer to?
On a scale.
Say
closer to the best than the worst.
It's closer to the worst, and here's why. September, October, November, December.
December?
March, April, May, June. That's 8 months that are better than August.
December?
It's too hot in August.
December.
December sneaky isn't even that cold. We don't even get snow in December. We don't even get, and you get Christmas.
Yeah, but it's still cold. No, so Christmas is the saving grace there for December.
Football?
What about January?
I didn't include January.
Oh, January wasn't August.
I didn't include January.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
I think January is worse than August. I don't like being hot. August is too hot. And there's no like football that matters yet. The baseball playoffs aren't there yet. There's no hoops or hockey. Like, August stinks.
Yeah, but that does it? That's also like it's a borderline work-free month. I mean, by our standards, we're both off a bunch.
Yeah, I go on all my vacations in August.
Yeah, that's like vacation.
I love my job. I'm not looking forward to the next vacation.
Also, my birthday is in August. It's actually tomorrow, so August is the best.
Well, that's a very selfish take.
Thank you. I finally got the sick brag.
No, I think it's way closer to the worst. Even if it's not the worst, it's closer to that.
What's the best month?
October?
Yeah, that's a pretty good answer.
October.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel good about that.
August is closer.
Or Dorktober.
August is closer to that. The only thing I don't like about August is you're now wrapping things up and you're getting closer to having to go back to work. But I like August. It's a vacation time, Keith.
Yeah, but it's the Sunday of the summer.
It is the Sunday of the summer. That's true.
Yeah, yeah.
That's definitely true.
Right? Because you're just like, oh my God, whether you're going back to school, back to work,
August scaries is like the Sunday scaries.
People have that.
Yeah, I can see
June
that.
Is like a Friday, July is your Saturday.
I can also see being a little worn out by, you know, all of the...
Yes, you're exhausted.
Lots of running around and taking family vacations. So I can see being worn out. I still do like August. It's closer to the best than the worst. Finally, what else, Bridget?
Which celebrity wedding would you most want to attend, past or future?
All time.
All time celebrity wedding. Go to any celebrity wedding of all time.
All right, so we were...
Which Affleck J-Lo would you choose?
I was going to say, Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce would be, I imagine, high on some people's lists.
Yeah.
We were talking about this before, like a royal... Would you want to go to like a royal wedding, Keith?
No, I don't think so.
You wouldn't want to, so
like Princess Di's wedding?
I don't particularly care for the royals. My wife is very much obsessed with them. I've watched royal weddings before on TV because she's obsessed.
Okay.
They're very boring,
yeah.
But it might be interesting to go to. Like, it's boring to watch on TV. That might be interesting to go to. I don't know if that really fits.
The fanciest meal you ever ate in your life.
Yeah, I don't know if it really fits as a celebrity wedding.
Okay. What about...
Did DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe actually get married?
They might have. That would have been a good one.
That's an interesting
what
one.
What about Rita Hayworth and Orson Welles?
Oh.
Now, they only lasted a year together, but was probably an unbelievable wedding back in the 40s.
You just got to go to the wedding.
All of Elizabeth Taylor's weddings.
Yeah, that's quite... Oh, you get all of them in one group?
Yeah, you get to go to all of them, probably.
Yeah.
Just like follow her around all those different... All
Kim
those different
Kardashian
weddings.
And Chris Humphries.
Yeah, that one burned
that's
hot.
That's a quick one, yeah.
Yep. JFK and Jackie.
Also Marilyn Monroe. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No.
Britney Spears and Jason Alexander, so you can go to the annulment a day later.
Oh, that's not a bad one.
That is pretty good. A 2-for-1.
That's not a bad
one. Exactly. One trip.
Yeah. What about Elvis Presley and Priscilla? So when they're like, does anybody object? I'd be like, I do. She's 14. Knock it off. That's gross. Why don't people talk about that?
Kind of like a time machine sort
disgusting.
Of thing.
You can save the day.
You're going back and you're kind of the hero.
I'm like, get out of there.
Yeah.
How old is that kid up there? I'd make a scene at the Elvis one.
I was watching SportsCenter like a couple Sundays ago.
How's that treat
people
you?
People do that still?
They had I was surprised. It just snuck up on me. All of a sudden, it was just on.
SportsCenter?
And they had like an Elvis Taekwondo story like out of nowhere. He's a big Taekwondo guy.
Yes. Oh, yeah, he
did
was.
Did you know this?
Yeah. Well, I knew it was some sort of martial arts. Like I didn't know that.
Perhaps I have the martial arts.
Because a lot of...
Karate?
A lot of impressions of... I think even Rob Schneider's impression of Elvis, which he famously has a good one.
They mix in a lot of
they,
it?
They, like, do, like, punches and kicks.
I didn't realize, his stage performance mixed a lot of that in. I didn't know
this. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
This is the show on SportsCenter now, huh?
Yeah, it was like a 10-minute feature.
Yeah.
But it was one of those where I'm like, well, now I'm just watching it, but I didn't know about this.
I got two for you back-to-back
here. Oh, I thought you already gave me like six. You have two more.
Yeah, I got two more.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
John Travolta, Kelly Preston. Now you're at like a Scientology table, and you're just like, they're like trying to convert you over. And you're like, that'd be pretty intense.
Yeah.
Right? Open bar, hopefully.
Well.
Pam and Tommy.
Nice. I've already seen all I need to see from that one. I don't need to.
I've seen everything.
I don't need to see that wedding.
I've seen everything.
Okay.
There's a lot of good ones on here.
No, there's many good suggestions.
Mm-hmm. Tom Cruise, Katie Holmes.
For a celebrity way. Yeah, you can get
also
like
a Scientology.
Tom Cruise value pack there.
Yeah.
Similar to, what was the one you said? Oh, all the Liz Taylor weddings.
All the Liz Taylors.
That comes the package deal. Yep. Friday four pack every Friday here on Jones and Keefe, brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. We had the Jones and Keefe fantasy football draft last night. Let's get to our takeaways from what should be a fantastic fantasy football league next.
Now, Jones and Keefe
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Yes. What the hell is a reverse Paul Brown?
A reverse Paul Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You don't listen to our show enough. It's on you.
Man, just expose yourself some more, Fitzy. Who's the master blasters?
That's Stitz and Ted, bro.
Wait, are you on the phone with A, your drug dealer, B, your bookie, or C, Ted?
You better be talking to Ted. I think he's on the phone with Ted.
Good. He should be. He's the co-manager.
He's live now to the war room. Ted Johnson's on the phone.
Nice. Look, it's the war room right now. Look at Stitz.
Oh, what a steal.
The first pick in the Master Blasters era, Ashton Jeanty, number 10.
Pick. I like it. That was a good combo. Good pick.
How to call the big guy real quick, though, but we got it done.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm on the clock.
Oh.
Whoa. All right.
Keith, you're up, bro.
Guys, am I on the clock?
No. Double Keith picks. You got some time.
You guys, of course you're supposed to tell him, yes.
Maybe I f***ed up, Ted. I don't know. This is kind of confusing.
Rich drafted Ladd McConkey.
This is actively working the phones.
Patriots need to hire him. Forget Elliot Wolf.
Just a little taste of the Jones and Keith fantasy football draft last night. Which you could have watched on the hashtag Dork YouTube channel.
That's correct.
Correct.
Yep, still up there now. If for some reason you want to go back and relive a live draft, it kind of hummed by. It was only like an hour change.
The draft itself
was like an hour.
And I bet the video ran a little long because we started breaking down teams there at the end. But I bet you could rip that thing in an hour easy. And it's worth it just for Stiz on the phone with Ted.
Yeah.
Live on NBC Sports Boston, or about to be live on NBC Sports Boston last night. Hashtag brag.
It did. It felt a lot like, and there you see, if you're watching on Twitch or on YouTube, it was Stiz calling his co-owner of his team.
Yeah.
And breaking down all the picks, and now Stiz is rattling off names and then selecting a guy. It honestly is very similar to the 2020 COVID draft where everybody had a war room on Zoom. That's what this was. It was amazing.
Stiz popped on.
Then he grabbed a cigar after his pick.
He went full John Henry after his pick.
Yeah.
Which I love.
After drafting Travion Henderson incredibly early. But I like Henderson. I didn't want Henderson, but not that high.
Look, here's the thing. The Master Blasters, they're trying to win the league, Keith.
They definitely won the Patriot fan base over all the Patriots they selected.
You got to go. If you're not winning the league.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point? So you don't want to be last.
Yeah.
Because we're working on a punishment. We're cooking that up.
Yep. It's going to be bad.
But it's going to be real bad.
It's going to be real bad. You're not
going
to want
it. But he's going for it. So he went with Drake May and Travion Henderson and Steph Diggs. Is
correct.
That right? So it's Patriots heavy.
It is.
But if that hits.
Oh, it's going to hit spectacularly.
Look out.
So there were seven of us live. Well, really seven and a half, because you also did get Ted on the phone.
Good point.
Right out of
seven
12,
and a half, yeah.
12 people in the league. And my biggest takeaways were just the communication that Stiz and Ted had as co-owners was great.
That's worth watching it just for that.
Yeah. Also, as a couple people pointed out live on the chat at the time, Andy Hart was just in a bad mood.
Yeah,
the whole draft.
But is that?
Oh, maybe just his mood.
Is that atypical?
Well, yeah, so this is the first time. I've been in 4 or 5 years, brag, with Hart. And usually his kid is like picking his team with him. But now his kid's off to college. So he was like FaceTiming with him. He also sneaky had like a co-owner.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But he also had himself on mute the whole time. I'm like, thanks for joining the draft on mute.
Yeah, he just kind of sat there.
Maybe don't join the draft.
He got in a worse mood when he auto-drafted J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, he was really mad when he auto-drafted J.J. McCarthy.
Because he got caught up in the conversation. We're like, you just took J.J. McCarthy? He's like, what? Like then he got real salty.
That happened to Fitzy, too. Fitzy all of a sudden was just, he was just rattling off nicknames.
You get caught up in
and
the
And then next thing you know,
it.
We're like, hey, Fitzy just made a pick. He's like, what?
Yeah, I forget who he took, but he wasn't thrilled.
That was Travis Hunter.
He did.
Yeah, I was like, Fitzy, good pick with Hunter. He's like, huh?
I didn't take him. Like,
he was top of the board there for like a full round. Good pick.
And also, I was obsessed with this as the draft unfolded. You know, we're live. There, you could see the seven of us on the side, and then also just screen sharing like the draft room, and so you see all the players on there and the teams, and then there's like a chat room in there, and it lets you know when somebody joins the chat or leaves the chat.
Yes.
and our guy Terp and Dan Ball constantly would join the draft, leave the draft, so join the draft, leave the draft.
On Twitch, Terp has a good. This is I'm on Ross St. Brown was like a. I think he fell to the second round in this audit, but that's an early pick.
That was a good pick by the Master Blasters.
Round two, pick three. Great pick by the Master Blasters. They had a good start.
They did.
But look at this. Terp left the draft. Terp joined the draft. Terp left the draft.
Outrageous.
Terp joined the draft. Terp left, joined.
Like, pull up a second window.
We're like 10 minutes into the draft at this point. Terp left and rejoined three different times.
But he, not to be outdone, Dan Ball was doing the same thing. Those guys were, it was like crazy. It was like hot potato with them. Like, just stay in there.
Yeah, so somehow, was there like a max capacity in the room? Or was somehow,
they're on the same hot spot?
Did they live in the same building?
It's possible.
Like, what's going on?
It's
like,
possible.
How was one joining and the other was, yeah, there's Dan Ball. Look at this.
So basically,
that's also the second. This is so early to be having
second round
internet connectivity issues. Yeah.
Yeah, that was on the right side. You have it literally says activity. And all it was draft picks and Dan Ball and Terp leaving and joining and leaving and joining.
Over
that's
and
what
over
that was.
Again.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Meanwhile, our guy Billy Lanny, who's on vacation, he was drafting, although he wasn't in the live streaming or whatever. According to ESPN, the best draft. They loved Billy Lanny's draft.
Yeah. Now I don't know how much stock we should put in this, although Billy won our combine.
He did.
So Billy's sneaky good at stuff.
Yes.
It turns out.
Yep.
But yeah, he
had. You don't want to put stock in it because of your grade.
Well,
our grade wasn't great.
Don't say our grade. Our grades. We are not co-managing a team.
We could.
Maybe we should.
Let's
should
make
we
a pool crazy our team trade. Together?
Yeah, nice. Now we're talking.
That way we can split the punishment.
But we.
And the reward.
Yeah. There's 11.
Split the hot dogs.
There's 11 Spanx. Yeah. Who gets six and who gets five is the question. But yeah, I both of us were reviewed very poorly by ESPN. They gave
so
me like
here's
a quick recap.
And I hear
B minus.
Here's exactly why. Is that's based off of their pre-draft rankings. And so I think the teams that drafted the closest to the pre-draft rankings are going to get higher grades because that's how they do it.
I like this excuse.
I think
this
I went
good.
Rogue a few times.
Oh, you
which
did.
Could
you did.
Bite me in the backside. Namely, I'm going into the year with Caleb Williams as my quarterback.
Yeah, they don't
that
like
is a
that.
Boom or bust.
They don't like that.
Full, I understand that could not be great. And so there was probably a bunch of quarterbacks they had rated higher that were available at that time, and I passed over them for Caleb Williams.
Can you pull up your review? I have mine in front of me.
Yeah, let me get it.
I was great. I'm 12th out of 12 is where I come in the power rankings. My draft was graded a D, which I didn't even realize they graded that low. Here's the write-up for it. It says, not exactly where you want to be, but it could be worse. The draft is just the beginning. We have a long season ahead. That's the review of my team.
Okay.
They also give you a strengths and weaknesses. Yeah. Oh, there's the Terp has the power rankings there. Yeah, the Cheetah's way down. You got to scroll down for
Cheetah's actually below me. I thought
Cheeseburger
I was
Club and Cheetah. You got to really scroll down there.
Cheeseburger Club is 11.
Okay. But they also give you a strength and weaknesses, or at least for most teams, they give you strengths and weaknesses. They only gave weaknesses for my team. Which is bench and tight end. My team has no strength. If your bench is a weakness, I feel like that's not really
that's
even
fine.
A real weakness.
And tight end. One of my weaknesses was defense. Okay.
Yeah,
fine.
Whatever.
I'll probably change it every week.
Right.
The other one was quarterback. This is going back to the Caleb Williams thing. My strength was wide receiver.
But you had a strength.
I had Jamar Chase, though. I had the first pick. Thanks
Got
to
it.
Jeff Cirillo. No, I don't. I can't find my what the computer said about mine. Other than I need to like look for trades. It's basically like you're gonna need some help.
Call some people up,
and I got a C grade.
Nice.
Yeah. So could have been better.
What'd you get over there, Nick?
I got a B.
You got a B.
It told me to hit the waiver wire.
Okay. Weird. I don't think there's a lot of great players currently available right now.
Twitch chat is asking who's the reverse Paul Brown. That is Nick, correct?
Nick is. Yeah,
that's me.
That's Nick's squad.
And then Billy had to have gotten an A. Billy has got the best squad in the league.
He's number one.
According
to
ESPN. Who do you think actually has the best squad? I went through all the teams not really even knowing whose they were. I think Davey had a pretty good draft.
So Davey, like, not to give him a lot of credit, but he drafts well.
He went Puka Neighbors or Neighbors Puka at 12 and 13.
I loved it.
I did love it. It was a great draft.
This might speak more to the draft position than anything else, but Davey picked 12 and Shine picked 11, and I like both of their teams.
Yeah, Jeff Cirillo wound up rewarding them with the 11th and 12th
pick.
Right,
forgetting them all together. Saved their season.
It ended up working out for him. Yeah,
because Shime got Derrick Henry at 11, which I think everybody's going to kick themselves over.
And then
massive year.
And then Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
I don't think either of us are crazy about,
that's pretty good.
Him as your RB2.
Yeah.
Real nice.
That is pretty good.
Anything else that jumped out last night?
No, that was pretty good. Oh, Davey did get Bo Nix, so I was excited about that for him.
Yeah, you own like You own a lot of Broncos. For all the crap we're giving, for all the crap we're giving,
a lot of Broncos because he handcuffed them all.
Yeah, well, for all the crap we're giving Stiz about owning a bunch of Patriots, you're Mr. Bronco over there.
I got both their running backs, and I got Marvin Mims. Oh, the other thing is, I threw everybody off the scent yesterday. I was like, Travis Kelce's going to suck, and I drafted Travis Kelce.
Oh, I did something similar.
Which guy?
I hated Tet McMillan.
Oh, you took Tet McMillan,
and I took Tet McMillan. Yeah, he's on the bench though.
Well. So it's a win-win.
Sounds like a good bench.
Either
to
me. Win-win. Either you're great,
yeah,
and you were right. He stinks, or he helps your fantasy.
Yeah, so we both did do that. You did that with Kelce, and I did that with Tet McMillan.
I actually didn't even really want him, but it was just he was still there because I thought you were going to jump early. I thought some because he's sort of jumped on some of these lists of like he's actually better than people are saying, and I was like, I don't really know, but I needed a tight end.
Here's somebody who was watching last night. Text line: Keith's Jaden Higgins pick went over like his love of deep cut Marvel movies. That's true.
I did ask.
The pick, and you're like,
hey,
you guys
Jaden
like
Higgins, anything there? Seems like a sleeper, no?
Like, I did hear Jones mention how he took a defense first, like, 8 times before anybody acknowledged him. He's like, guys, a defense just went,
yeah,
guys.
No, yeah, I was watching the board a lot closer than some others, I think. I'm like, hey, Nick just took a defense, let's make fun of him, and no one wanted him on that. Like, nah. Yeah,
at that point, too many beers dead. I was like, all right.